Right, let's turn into your Bible to the book of Philippians. We're going to be completing chapter 3 today, and pretty much right on schedule as we've been coming through the year, coming through the book of Philippians, and our focus this year is having a vision to grow, and with each chapter I kind of had a sub-theme to that. As far as chapter 1, we had a vision to serve. Chapter 2, a vision for others, and then in chapter 3, a vision to lead. And we're really going to end this chapter with that theme and dealing with a vision to lead. And so, since it's been, seems like forever and a day since we're in Philippians, it's been at least 4 weeks ago, I think, the last time I preached, and we covered verses 18 and 19, and really looking at the enemies of the cross. And if you might remember in talking about that, we're not talking about those that are lost in the world that are the enemies of the cross. That is a gift. But what Paul is referring to are those who are believers in Christ, that they come to the place where they end up being enemies of the cross, and that where, again, they're walking according to their own heart's desire. I want you to actually look at verses 18 and 19 as far as way of review. In Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." And we really went through that, and really, I kind of went through verse 19 backwards, and because really, minding earthly things, that's where it all starts. It's the thought process. If you're focused on that which is of this world, then that's going to lead you into everything that we've seen, which ends up in destruction. Remember, we've talked about, especially coming through the book of Philippians, that we have the judgment seat of Christ that is forthcoming. After the rapture of the church, we go right into the throne room, and we are judged for our service and what we've done since the moment that we accepted Christ until that point in time. And so our works will be judged by fire. And if there's nothing remaining of your work that you've done and it's destroyed, then that's what's being talked about here. But what I want you to understand with this is getting back to, again, leadership. Because all of us can be a leader in some aspect. I mean, some of us on the job, your managers, your supervisors, your leaders there, or again, in your family that you're leaders, or even think about, you know, as far as, you know, mothers taking care of their children, you're leading them. There's people in maybe in your neighborhood that they look to you for leadership. And so this is not something that is a message that's just for pastors or deacons or something like that. It's a message for all Christians, because all of us really should be leading somebody else. And I want you to back up to verse 17 of the same chapter, because really, this sets the context. Verses 18 and 19 is a parenthetical statement. It's Paul giving us a little bit more detail and understanding of some things, but you can really read verse 17 right into verse 20 and 21, which we're going to cover today. And that's what we're going to do. In verse 17, it says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." And we talked about that a number of weeks ago when we covered this message and talking about being a biblical ensample. It's like that word example. You're a pattern for somebody to be able to follow. And that's what Paul is encouraging the Philippians to do, is to follow him and others that are following Christ. I'm going to read verse 17 again and then do as I said, as far as going into verses 20 and 21. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So verses 20 and 21 really define what it is that, you know, we need to follow people that are examples of their conversation. Remember, biblically speaking, that word conversation has more of a meaning, a richer meaning than how we use the word today. A lot of times we use the word conversation, we're just thinking about talking to somebody, and that's it. But conversation in the Bible is dealing with your life, what you do, your manner of living. And that's why I talked about this and entitled the message, "Walking While We Watch." We should be watching for the Lord to return, as we're going to see in verse 20, but it's a matter of that we're walking according to the truth of the Word of God. It's our conversation. You know, and understanding that we have the focus, it should be, that we can have a glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back for the church. So today we're looking at simple 2 points, our conversation in verse 20, glorification in verse 21. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your goodness and all that you do for us. I thank you for again, just for Kurt and taking over and preaching these last couple of weeks. And while Trisha and I were gone on our 30th anniversary trip, had a great time. We thank you for your safety. Thank you for all that we've been able to see and do. But Lord, it's good to be back here. It's good to be behind this pulpit, to be able to continue through the preaching of your word in the book of Philippians. And again, the vision and direction that you have for us this year, having a vision to grow. And if there's anything that 2020 has given us, is that opportunity to grow through the struggles, through the strife, through the tribulations, and all the things that are going on in our world. It's a great opportunity to be able to grow. And so we thank you for that. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw our attention to what we need to see today in these verses. As we talk about walking while we watch, that we're looking for you and your coming, but that should, again, affect our walk and making sure that it's according to your word, that we are able to glorify you now here on earth so that we can be glorified with you later when the Lord comes back for us. So Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us to put your word to heart, that it's not just another message, not one kind of listen to it, but Lord, let us hear your word and apply it to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation, again, you need to follow us, you know, being a sample, because what? For our conversation is in heaven. In other words, when you look at our conversation, you look at our manner of life, you look at our walk, it is reflective of what it is in heaven. And we've seen that sort of thing before. When we talk about the word ambassador, as a matter of fact, Paul talks about being an ambassador for Christ in several places in the book of Ephesians, as well as even in Corinthians, where he's talking about an ambassador, where he is representing, you know, the word of God. He's representing, you know, how heaven wants us to be able to walk. We're representing the country of heaven, so to speak, here on earth. That's what an ambassador does. They represent the interests and everything of their home country in a foreign land. Well, that's what every believer is in Christ. We're ambassadors. We represent heaven and its interests here on earth. And so our conversation, our lifestyle should reflect that. Now, you'll remember we've already seen this word before in the book of Philippians. I want you to go back to chapter 1 real quickly. Philippians chapter 1, and look down in verse 27. And Paul lays out here, again, how our conversation, our lifestyle, needs to reflect, in a sense, heaven, but he talks about it as being the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, and verse 27, it says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, then you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, that our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life should reflect that. When people look at us, they should see the gospel. They should see Christ. They should understand that our conversation is in heaven. There's something different about us. We're not walking like the rest of the world. And that brings me to my next reference. It's not too far away. Just go back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look in verses 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, it says this in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, that's not talking about your dad. It's talking about your who you are before you are in Christ. The old man. Your sinful nature, the sinful Charles Boyce. That conversation needs to be put off like some dirty clothes. All right. So again, in verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, it's like taking off the old, putting on the new. That's what God, God never asks you to stop doing something without giving you something to do, to replace it. All right? So we put off the former conversation that is corrupt, that is deceitful with its lust, that has, there's nothing good that's in our flesh. We'll see another reference on that later here in this message. But we need to put on that which is what we have in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that's what we need to do on a daily basis, all right? Is that understanding that we have the gospel on, that our life, our manner of life, our walk is according to the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. I want to give you one more reference in dealing with this conversation before we move on. And for that, I need you to actually go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As you make your way there, kind of give you a little bit of the context. Paul is writing his this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, again encouraging him. And in chapter 4, it is really focused in on doctrine, the importance of Timothy making sure he teaches doctrine, all right? Because there's a lot of corruption that is going on out there. And one of the things that Paul charges or encourages Timothy to do is dealing with being an example, like we talked about a number of weeks ago. But I want you to know specifically what he says here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. So 1 Timothy 4, picking it up in verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." In other words, when somebody looks at you, Timothy, you should be an example of what a Christian is all about. You need to be an example of the Word, being in the Word of God, something that I stress a lot around here. That's why we have on the front of this pulpit that Arnold built for you is 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." The Word of God is important. It's hard to walk the Christian life and have a conversation that is a heavenly conversation, a conversation that is that of the gospel of Christ, without being in the Word of God. That's something that needs to happen daily, just like we saw in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, that we need to have our mind renewed. All right, the spirit of your mind renewed. That happens as you spend time in the Word. So Timothy needs to be an example in Word. And the next thing it says is conversation, your manner of life, your walk. All right, there's no way you can walk according to the Word of God if you don't know what the Word of God says. There's no way you can do that if you don't spend time in the Word of God, reading and studying. That's what he says down here in verse 12, you know, that you give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Not just only the reading of the Word of God, but the study of the Word of God, that it becomes part of you. All right? That it's like, it's just automatic. I mean, just like you drive. I mean, you know how it is when you start learning how to drive. At least you should be. You probably don't have the radio on. I mean, you're paying attention to everything. Whoever gave you instructions to drive and taught you, for me, it was my dad. But after you've been driving for a while, you know how it is. You got the radio blasting. Some of you got a leg sticking out the window. I mean, I don't think you do. But, you know, it's like you're used to it. You know, it's almost you don't have to think about it, especially if you drive somewhere at the same time over and over again. Sometimes you're like, I don't even remember passing by such and such. Here I am home. You get used to doing it because of the repetition of over and over and over again driving. You can think about that with any kind of situation. Well, that's what our walk with Christ should be. Our conversation should be that we spend time in the Word, that we have that consistency every day. Doesn't mean that you spend hours and hours upon hours in the Word of God every day, but you have that consistency that I'm spending time in the Word so that my walk is effective. That my walk, that I'm an example of that, of the gospel, that our conversation is in heaven. And so that whenever, whatever circumstance that happens, you handle it according to the Word of God. All right, and not according to the old man, the flesh. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. We need to move on in verse 20. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That we're focused on His coming again. That should be every day our focus is that the Lord is coming back. And if our focus is that the Lord is coming back, if we're watching for Him to come back, that should affect our walk. In other words, we want to make sure that we're doing what is right, so when the Lord comes back, there's nothing that He has to rebuke us for. There's nothing that He can say, "Hey, Charles, you know what? How come you didn't deal with this?" All right? It should affect our walk. You know how it is. If you're working outside the home and you have a supervisor or boss, it's like they give you something to do and you know they're getting ready to show up, but maybe not when you want to be ready. You want to be ready when they show up that you've done the thing that you're supposed to be doing. All right? That's my life. I mean, I see my boss maybe twice in the pay period. All right? Especially with everything going on with COVID and how we have our schedule. I work nights. I work by myself. And I can choose to goof off a lot. I mean, it's going to catch up to me. All right? But I need to work. It's like, hey, the boss is coming in tomorrow. I want to make sure that the office is like it needs to be and that I got work done. You can see that I've done the work that needs to get done. All right? Well, that's what it should be for us as Christians. And a lot of times we live our life without a thought that the Lord is coming back, and He is. And when He comes back, we're going to have to give an account of how we serve Him. All right? Again, from verse 20. And read it again and kind of give you a couple of cross references here. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Colossians, the next book over to the right, and we're going to land in chapter 3. So, Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at the first four verses of this chapter. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Our focus on the Lord coming back. It says this: "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Having an eternal focus, not a temporal focus. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life," not just a part of our life, He is our life, "shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Again, we'll talk about that in our last point, in verse 21 of Philippians 3. But it's like, again, the focus should be on heaven, on above. If our conversation is a heavenly conversation, then we should be focused on the Lord coming back for us. It should affect our walk. So I'm not focused on the things of the earth. I'm focused on the things that are eternal. The goals, the job, the walk that the Lord has for me, that's what I need to be focused on. So that I have the opportunity that when He comes back, that I can be glorified with the same glory that He has, which again we'll cover in Philippians 3 and verse 21. So I want you to continue on with this. Just continue over to the right with me and go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. See the same thing, that we should have this looking and watching for the Lord to return. Alright? And that should affect our walk and making sure that we are prepared for that time. Notice what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, verse 10. Paul is referring to his work with the Thessalonians and how they turn to God. In verse 9 it says this: "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, again, this is an incredible verse. It's got a couple of verses here. And one of the things that it lays out is the surety that as believers in Christ, we're not going to go through the coming tribulation. You think about the way things have been now in our country and in the world with COVID-19 and everything that's going on. We think this is bad. You can't imagine what it's going to be like when the rapture of the church happens and the world is left to the Antichrist and everything that's going to be going on through that 7-year tribulation period. We won't be going through that wrath. It lays it out, says it here, right here. But the thing that we need to see today, though, is that in light of the Lord coming back for us, are we walking? Are we watching? Are we waiting upon the Lord like we need to? Again, you notice as it says here in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 and 10 again, it says, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven." Now that wait there is not just waiting and thinking that I'm just going to sit and just sit back and take it easy until I hear the trumpet blow. The idea of waiting is an idea of serving. You see that from the context of verse 9. So if I'm going to be waiting on the Lord, I am going to be serving the Lord. We understand this when we go to a restaurant. There's restaurants now that are open up for dine-in, and you go and you order off the menu, and you have somebody that is going to wait upon you. They're waiters, waitresses, all right? What are their jobs? It's to serve you. Serve you your meal, to get your drink order, to take your order as far as what you want to eat, come back and see how things are going, and do you want dessert, and so forth and so on. I mean, they are waiting upon you. They are serving you. Well, that's what we need to be doing for the Lord, waiting upon Him, serving Him, because He is coming back, and we want to accomplish everything that He has asked us to do. Now, Trish and I mean, we had a great time again on our 30th anniversary. So it was a lot of places that we were able to eat out. And I've done something that I have not done in a very long time. In 2 weeks' time, 16 days, there were 4 different steak dinners that I had out. I have not done that in a long time. And It was good. I'm going to sit here and I don't care if you're jealous. It was good. All right? And I had a great time. But when we were in, and we had great service a lot of times, but when we were driving back, coming back this way, and had to revisit a niece and her family in Missoula, Montana, we just, by just driving, just went to Billings, Montana. There's nothing that we necessarily did in Billings, but just drive there to cut our drive time down for the next day. But we went out and decided, well, Trish picked a restaurant, and there's another restaurant, a steak restaurant, and I tell you what, the food was really good, but the waiter that we had was really bad. So bad that it really affected the good food that we had. All right? I mean, it was, we hadn't had that kind of bad service in a long time. The guy, he comes and, you know, and we chat and so forth, and he gets our drink order, and he talks me into having huckleberry lemonade. Wasn't too bad. All right, so I got my huckleberry lemonade, and by this time, Trish and I, we knew what we wanted. We were ready to order a meal. But he gives us drinks, and he goes, I'll come back later. And later was later. It took a while for him to go, but they were just sitting there. You know, I'm almost done with my huckleberry lemonade. It's like there was no refill. He finally comes back, you know, and we order our food, you know. But then, you know, and restaurants do this. Somebody else brought out our meals, and that's something that's a kind of a thing that happens these days at the restaurants. So that's not a big deal. But he never came back to check to see if everything was fine. By the time I'm eating my nice steak dinner, you know, I'm thirsty, and it's like I'm out of my huckleberry lemonade. And so, Trish, we've got to flag down somebody else to get a refill. We were done with our food and everything like that, and he finally comes back to the table and asks us if, you know, we want dessert or something. And we're thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind having dessert, but this process is taking so long. How long is it going to take for us to get a dessert out here? And so he's going to give us a bill. And even that, in paying for the bill, took forever. This was the worst waiter I think I have ever had. Now, we did have a waiter one time at Steak and Shake in Kansas City. We go in there, we got our drink, and he walked out. He quit. I mean, I don't know what's wrong. He just quit. You know, I had to go to the manager and say, hey, we ordered some drinks, and we haven't gotten them yet. And next thing we know, we had a new waiter. Because the one we had originally quit. I don't know what it is with drinking mine. Sometimes it's like, nope, no, I'm not. I'm done. I'm done. I quit. I don't know. But this was a bad experience. And then when I'm looking at putting this message together, and it's like, you know what? It is an absolute perfect example, though, of unfortunately a lot of Christians. They have no idea how to wait on the Lord, to serve Him, to walk with Him, to watch for Him. The Lord wants us. He has things for us to do. Just like you sit in a restaurant, you have a waiter. What do you want? You want them to get you your drink. You want them to put the meal in that you want to have. You want them to do the refills. You want them to check on. I mean, it was. I'm telling the bad experience. But on the flip side, where we were in, what is it? I forget where. Was it South Dakota? Yeah, it was in South Dakota. We went to Texas Roadhouse. The waitress that we had, she was just been married for 3 weeks, you know. We couldn't ask for her to do anything more better. I mean, she was just incredible. So much so that we told her about the experience that we had back in Billings. All right? And it's like, we're good tempers. That guy in Billings, he almost got the bare minimum. I was going to give him 14%. Just 1% under the standard 15% to give, but Trish had a heart more than me, I guess, and gave him 15%. I wanted to make a point with that guy. The waitress that we had in South Dakota, we gave her a big tip. A really big tip. All right? And this is what I'm talking about as believers in Christ. If Jesus Christ was sitting in the restaurant of Charles Boyce, what kind of reward or tip would Jesus Christ give Charles Boyce? Did I wait on him like I needed to, like I'm supposed to? Did I do everything according to the order that he gave me? Or was I like the waiter in Billings? Think about that. You are your own restaurant and Jesus Christ comes in for a meal. What kind of tip would he give you? Right? Really, in a sense, in a simplistic sense, that's the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be rewarded. Are we waiting on Him? We need to move on, but I do want to give you just one more reference real quick. I want you to go over to the book of Titus. Book of Titus chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 11 through 13. Again, looking for the Lord to come back. I want you to notice what it says here. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11 down to verse 13. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Notice, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, verse 13 should affect verse 12 for us. As we're looking for the blessed, glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our walk should be as it says in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, even in the midst of the craziness that is going on in the United States. With all the protests and riots and everything like that, again, nothing wrong with peaceful protests, but when you're breaking the law and everything that's going on, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, we still need to do verse 12. Because our motivation is not what other people think in the world. Our motivation is understanding that Jesus Christ is coming back for us and coming back for us soon, and it should affect our walk as we watch for the Lord to return. That we're living godly, soberly, righteously in this present world. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3 and move on. Again, I'll read from verse 20 into verse 21. Again, a vision to lead. A leader is going to have a conversation, a manner of life that, again, reflects the truth of heaven, the gospel of grace, the Word of God. And in verse 21 it says this, "Who shall change our vile body." First thing I want to stop there. Christ coming back, what's going to change our vile body? Now I'm going to say this, as believers in Christ, all right, when He comes back, we will be changed. We will have a glorified body, a body that is suited for heaven. This body is not suited for heaven. It is a vile body. It's very vile. If you remember last year, I want you to actually turn back to this real quick. In our study in the book of Job, I want you to go back to Job chapter 40 real quick. And this is after the Lord shows up and starts talking to Job and everything that's going on. And He's giving them question after question after question about His creation. Doesn't even deal with why Job was going through all the suffering that he was going through. And I want you to notice when Job finally speaks and says something in chapter 40, I want you to notice what he says down in verse 4. So Job chapter 40, down in verse 4, I'll pick it up in verse 3. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." You right, remember we talked about there was a back in Job chapter 23, he was talking about, yeah, I want to have my day in court with God. I got some things I want to tell Him. Because I don't understand why I'm going through all this. And Lord, You got some splaining to do. That's how they say it in the country, splaining. You know, just cut the X off. Splaining to do, Lord. And then when the Lord shows up and starts questioning Job, question after question after question, what's Job's response? "I'm vile. I'm just going to shut up." This body, we all know, it's a vile body. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. You have to turn there. You can look at it later. But he talked about, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing that we can do within our flesh, within our body, that's going to add up to a hill of beans to God, because we are a sinful people. You know, we're born in the image of a sinner. Adam. Romans 5:12 tells us that. All right? It's like, it's a vile body. All right? But being in Christ, it's going to be changed. But as you go back to Philippians chapter 3, this is what we should be, our goal is to have a glorified body like Jesus Christ. That's not a guarantee. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, notice what it says. who shall change our vile body. It will be changed. As you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your body will be changed. You will have a resurrected body. But he goes on and says this, though. It says that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. That we have a glorified body exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity. But it's a may. That means it's conditional. Yes, every Christian will have a glorified body. This vile body will be changed so it's able to be in heaven. But every Christian is not going to necessarily have a glorified body fashioned just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That word may is very important. The Lord wants us to rule and reign with Christ. But that's conditional if we're willing to suffer for Him now. To live for Him now. To walk with Him now. In this present world. Alright? He wants us to be part of the bride. He wants us to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. But that's something that is, again, conditional. And something that is not often taught or preached in churches today at all. And guess what? Christians are living like that. Acting like there's no accountability. There's no judgment seat. Man, when we got back from vacation, my boss, he had texted me. We're getting ready to go from Coeur d'Alene in the northern part of Idaho. We're going to spend a few hours in Washington State just to say that we've been there and it's beautiful, and then head over to Missoula, Montana. And then I'm in the car and got everything ready to go to pull out from where we were. And then I see a text from my boss and saying, hey, you got a couple of subpoenas on your desk. And I open them up, and one's for the 19th. So I already called and said, yeah, obviously you're not going to be there for that. But the other one is the day after you get back. I said, yeah, I'll be there. So I go to court, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, on the 26th or whatever it was, 25th, 26th, whatever the Wednesday was. And of course I waited there for 2 hours. The guy that was supposed to be there that I had the case on as far as the domestic violence situation, did he show up to court? No. Apparently he doesn't care about any accountability. I do. I get a subpoena, I mean, I have to be there. I need to be there. I really don't have an option. I'm supposed to be there. Alright, need to make sure I got my report ready, got everything on, make sure I'm all dressed and ready to go, ready to testify. And all I did was sit in the prosecutor's office for 2 hours when I should be sleeping because I had to work that night. I got to be honest, I was hoping he'd show up at the casino. And I was hoping there'd be a warrant for him because it was going to be my life's mission to arrest him. Because he cost me sleep. But of course I called, they didn't issue any kind of warrant. I'm sure they'll just give him another court date. That's the world we live in right now. No accountability. And as Christians, I swear, we're living like we don't have, like we're never going to give an account to the Lord. The Bible, yeah, we are. And the Lord wants us to have a body that is fashioned just like unto His glorious body. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter that talks about the doctrine of dealing with the resurrection, talks about, again, the rapture of the church, the resurrection, and that. But it talks about the difference between our terrestrial body, our earthly body, as opposed to a celestial body, a heavenly body. And I know, I'm just going to read a few verses here. I want you to pick it up in starting in verse 40. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look down in verse 40. We'll read through verse 42. It says this, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Dealing with the earthly. There is some glory in our earthly bodies. I mean, the way that God has fashioned us together and made this body and how it works is absolutely incredible, but it's nothing compared to having a celestial body, obviously. Verse 41, it says this, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now, I have looked at this passage a number of times, and there's a lot back and forth that we considered with this, and David in Kansas City, we talked about this. This came up one time when we were question answer Bible study, that sort of thing, and it was on New Year's Eve that we were up there this past year, and that question came up, and we talked about, like, you know, the glory of the Son. Jesus Christ is pictured by the sun, our sun that we see. But our sun is a star, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like, we want to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I mean, so obviously our sun, our star is the brightest thing in the sky, all right? And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like we want to be able to share in that glory. But what are we talking about? What does it mean as far as, you know, there's different glory of the moon and different glory of the stars different in glory and so forth. And a lot of times I've taught and looking at that, is like, I wonder sometimes is how much we're going to shine in heaven depends on how much we shine here on earth. Because we're supposed to let our light shine. All right. So what if it is that way, that if you're barely doing anything, then your glorified body is not as glorious as somebody else? Again, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, that we may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And if we don't attain to that, then maybe our glory is different. But I was thinking about that this week, and it's like, you know what? Really, there's a glory of the sun and the moon. But what is our sun? It's a star. Right? It's a star. It's just the closest star to us. It's in our solar system. Now, the glory of the moon. The moon has light, but doesn't have light of its own. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun. It's not as bright, obviously, all right? If you go out tonight, it's kind of cool. I saw this last night, to where right now, if you look at the moon, clear night, you'll see the planet Mars right by it. I mean, it's just kind of a cool thing. I mean, as the moon travels in the orbit of Mars and so forth and so on, it's kind of a neat thing to see. But obviously, the moon is not as bright as the sun. And of course, other stars differ in glory because they're either bigger, different colored, or they're further away, closer, that sort of thing. But when it all comes down to it, you're still dealing with the light of a star. And I wonder sometimes if there's any that God laying this out in 1 Corinthians 15, and if He's telling us something, every Christian is going to be, his vital body is going to be changed. But every Christian, unfortunately, is not going to have his body fashioned like unto Jesus Christ and His glorious body. But that's what our goal should be. And that means, if we're watching for Him to return, understanding our accountability before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and we want to be married to Him, we want to rule and reign with Him, we want to be part of the body for all of eternity, if we want to be able to have our body fashioned like unto His glorious body, then that should affect our walk here in this present world. That we are taking the truth of the Word of God, that our conversation, that our lifestyle, that it is reflective of the gospel of Christ. It should affect our walk. It should affect our walk as we're watching for Him. All right, I want to finish up here. We go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. It says this, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." I mean, Jesus Christ, He is above and over it all. Alright? He's able to subdue. In other words, if we allow God to work in our life, this will happen for us. Alright? I want you to actually go back to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20 and read down to the end of the chapter, to verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, and talking about how God, Christ, is able to subdue all things unto Him. He is the head, all right? He is the one that's in authority. And it says this, starting in verse 20. Again, Ephesians 1, verse 20, it says, "...which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Again, that we have the opportunity to be a part of that, all right? It will happen. Jesus Christ has the body of Christ. He will have a bride. The question is, will be a part of it? He is over everything. Everything is under His feet. He is the preeminent, all right? Everything. It doesn't matter if it's principality, power, dominion, government, whatever. He will be over it all, all right? Now in this life, but that which is to come. The question is, will we be part of that? Will we allow our walk to be that which is becometh the gospel of Christ? Will our conversation to be in heaven as we watch for the Lord to come back? But here's what we need to do. We know what God is going to do. We know that this is true, that Ephesians chapter 1 and what's talked about, and even in Philippians, that is a done deal. The question is, what about us? Will we submit ourselves, that we will keep under this body, that we do what is right so that we can be glorified with Christ? And I'll show you what I mean. I want you to just go back a few pages more to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In the context of Paul talking about how this dispensation and being able to, of the gospel of grace given to him and preaching that truth has been given to him, and that he wants to make sure that, again, that he's not allowing his flesh to hinder what God wants to do in his life in preaching the Word of God. And so I want you to just look down at the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. He gives the analogy of sports. And it's too bad we didn't have the Olympics this year. It would have been great to be able to see that. That happens every 4 years as far as the Summer Olympics is concerned. Postponed, maybe they'll have it next year. You know, but Paul is using that imagery here and what he's talking about. In verse 25 it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." The word temperate in dealing with temperance or self-control. That's one of the nine fruit of the Spirit, by the way, that we have. So we have the ability to do this. "And every man that is that striveth for the masters is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," all right, some earthly award, "but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." He has a course. He has a direction. He's not just running all over the place. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I mean, you're not going to really get much done if you're hitting air. All right? There's a focus. All right? And he goes on and it says this in verse 27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul's concern was he didn't want to do all the preaching that he's doing, but yet he is living in the flesh, and then he's just a castaway. And he won't be part of the bride, the body, ruling and reigning. Have his body glorified in the same fashion as the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't want that. And we should neither. We should be temperate. We should keep this vile body, this flesh, in subject to the truth of the Word of God. Yet very easily, what I'm talking about, be summed up in one simple verse that we have in our discipleship as a memory verse, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's no in-between. It's black and white. Right? There's no in-between. Either we are walking in the Spirit, or we're walking in the flesh. Right? And it doesn't take much for that to happen. Right? So I'll be last night, leaving to go to work. And again, I've been working, and again, I had the funeral and everything that took place, and I didn't get a lot of sleep. It was hard to get to sleep after that, you know, trying to get some more sleep before going into work last night. And I don't know what is with our dog Shadow. Every time I'm getting ready, you know, I'm getting all dressed, you know, get the bag done on and everything like that, got my work bag getting ready to hang, and as soon as I put on our vest, because we always have a vest to cover our gun and so forth like that, starts barking at me. Barking, 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 barking. All right? I had a long day. I really didn't want my dog barking at me. And as I'm leaving, he's like jumping on my leg, and I turned around and it's like, "Shadow!" And he kind of went away, and then he started barking again. And it's like, I'm tired of getting barked at. I'm just leaving the work. What is it? I'm not a postman. It's the same thing. Postman, policeman, dog star. I don't know what it is. Oh, you just started doing that one day. And last night, I just couldn't take it. But you know what? I was not in spirit when I yelled at Shadow. Oh, I was in the flesh. No doubt about it. And I got to work, and work was good and so forth. I texted Trish and apologized and so forth and all that. No, it's just a dog. But my point is, it doesn't take much to put you in the flesh. And the whole thing that we got to understand, it's like Christ is coming back. And in every aspect of our life, our life should be the gospel.
And maybe I should have said, like, now, now, Shadow, we got to cut that out and be on my way. But if I, at least you got an example, and you see that, guess what? Charles Boyce is just as human as anybody else.
And we all need to understand, it's like, you know what? We've got to understand our accountability. We've got to be watching for the Lord coming back, and we know that He's coming back. It should affect our walk. That we're ready to continue to serve Him, to do what He's laid out in His Word.
And so that He does come back for us, and we're before Him, before the throne of God, we can be standing before Him and have a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have served Him and walked in this present world according to the gospel, according to the truth of the Word of God. Let's pray.
My Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. Just thank You and praise You for all that You do for us and the things that You have shown us. It's so good to be back here, to be back in the book of Philippians and just preaching Your word. I pray that something was said that would really work in all of our hearts for those who are here, those who are listening online or that will listen later to this message from our website. Lord, I pray that Your word would make a difference in all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be able to desire and focus that every day that we spend time in the Word, that we can lead others by having a conversation that reflects the truth of the Word of God. It's a consistency thing. It's everyday trying. It's not going to happen necessarily overnight, but that's what You desire for us to do, is to continue to grow in how we walk with You in this present world. No matter how bad this world gets, that we are still walking and seeking to do things according to the truth of Your Word. Help us to do that. We all struggle. We all have to deal with this vile body, this flesh that there's nothing good that dwells in it. We all have to deal with that struggle. Help us to walk in Your Spirit by walking in the Word so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh of this vile body. Lord, that You can be pleased in our service to You as we walk and watch for You. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.